Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So we're going to, I've got my title slide, Crossing the River. See if this works. Excellent. Crossing the River. And if you want to open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 32, it's a pretty big chapter. I'm not going to read everything. So I encourage you to open your Bibles just so you can sort of read along and follow the story as we go. So just for context, at this point in the story, the Israelites have grown from a prophetic promise to Abraham, and now they're a mighty nation. So they've grown, they've been through slavery, they've been through deliverance, they've been through disobedience and hunger and desert wandering. And by the time we get to the end of the book, and hopefully you've all found your place in your Bible by now, we're in Numbers, and then they're on the brink of entering into the promised land. So if we look at our map here, I don't know if I have a pointer. Oh, I do. Very cool. So Egypt, a whole lot of stuff happened there. Then God delivered them. They wandered, wilderness, more wilderness, more wilderness, up more wilderness. And then by the time we get to here, the plains of Moab is where we find ourselves in this story. So I'm going to read, or paraphrase, but I encourage you to follow along as we go. So we have, they're at this point, they're on the plains of Moab, and we have two tribes, the Reubenites and the Gadites, who come and speak to Moses. And the Bible says that these tribes had very large herds and large flocks, and they'd been looking at all this beautiful pasture land in Moab that they'd seen, and they'd been very impressed. And they had all these flocks that they thought, this pasture land looks great, this looks ideal. So they come to Moses and they ask if they can settle there with all their families and livestock instead of going along with the rest of Israel into the promised land over the Jordan. Now I'm going to ask my beautiful prop assistant to come and help me. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this. It's a little bit daggy, but I like visuals, so you're getting a visual tonight. Thank you. So we're going to use our imagination. This is our river, all right? River. Here. So basically we have, they've wandered, they're in the wilderness, and they come up to this side of the river, and they're like, hang on a minute, I don't actually think I want to go over the other side, I kind of like it over here. And I got to this point in the Bible and I was like, hang on a minute, you've gone all of this way, you've wandered and you've wandered and you've wandered and you've wandered and you've wandered, and there's milk and honey right there, and you stop, and you decide that you don't want to go there. And I was like, that's a bit strange. Why did they stop short? God's full inheritance for the Israelites was just within reach. The promised land from the covenant that we spoke about with Abraham, the land of abundance, of pastures and of food, freedom from slavery, victory over their enemies in Canaan that had been promised, of life as a people of God, that was just over the Jordan River, just there. But they decided to stop. And even better, over there, God had promised them the victory over all their enemies and the possession of the land. You can see in Deuteronomy, it talks about in chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety." So they had this promise, but they weren't prepared to claim it. So that brings me to my first question for you tonight, if you're writing notes. What's holding you back? You see, just like the Israelites, we also have an inheritance, an eternal life with God, won by Jesus at the cross, where we have the freedom to be in relationship with him despite our sinful nature. In John 17:3, it says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." But there's more. With the eternal life in heaven comes an abundant life here on earth. And I'm not talking like unlimited Netflix or endless supplies of coffee, which would be great, but I'm talking a life full of the blessings of God. So what does this life actually look like? This life is a life of purpose and hope. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." A life of joy. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. A life of heavenly guidance and protection. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. A life of peace. A life without conditions. Of love without conditions, sorry. Romans 5 verse 8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Unconditional love from God. A life of peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. A life of godly wisdom. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. A life of forgiveness. Psalm 103 verse 12. He's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. And a life, this is what we've been talking about at church, a life of freedom from shame, guilt, fear, anxiety, depression, condemnation, despair. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We sang that just before. So that's what this life over here is. It sounds really good, right? Like all those things. That sounds pretty nice. I think we'd all be wanting to be over that side of the river. So why didn't they go across? What was holding them back? So I guess we can see some of the answers of why what's holding them back, what's holding us back from this life can be seen in the Israelites. One of the first things was fear. They knew that the enemies they'd have to fight over in that side of in the promised land, they were big, they were strong, and that they sometimes thought that they wouldn't make it through. How often does fear prevent us from taking that step? How often does fear prevent us from moving forward? Is it fear of being vulnerable enough to deal with some of the enemies or the issues that we might face on the other side so that we can move into freedom? Is it fear of being let down? Is it fear of failing? Is it fear of missing out on things? That's just to name a few. Distrust. The Israelites show that they didn't trust God's power to overcome the enemies in that land. They didn't trust God that he knew above and beyond anything that they could have imagined. And he was in charge. And he knew that what was ahead was actually better. And they didn't show that they trusted God enough to provide pastures. They thought the pastures on this side of the land were all right. They didn't trust him to provide even better on the other side. So how often do we do that? How often do we not trust God and think that we trust ourselves more? How often do we take it into our own hands, like these tribes, and decide, all right, I'm just going to stay on this side. I can see this is all going to work for me. I'm going to just sort it out from my side and trust that I know better than God. How much do we think from an earthly perspective and miss out on perhaps the higher purposes that God has planned from us from a more heavenly perspective? Isaiah 55, I'm sure we all know it, that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't know what's on the other side apart from trusting him. Another thing that might be holding the Israelites or might be holding you back is greed and selfishness. It's a bit hard-hitting, but the verse tells us that they had large herds and large flocks. They saw the grazing land on this side of the Jordan, and they wanted it for themselves. They thought, that looks great. I don't want to share that with anyone else. And then how often do we covet worldly possessions and look after just us? We think me all the time. And then that prevents us from looking outwards at the blessings God's already provided. Another thing that was holding them back was laziness and complacency. They'd found what they thought was a good enough life, couldn't be bothered going any further, and they just settled. They just stayed there. They didn't want to go into battle. They just wanted the easy way out. And so how often with us do we allow complacency to prevent us from digging deeper into what God has for us? How often do we allow laziness to prevent us from putting that bit of extra effort into our relationship with God? So we're going to continue our story. Basically, they've come and they've talked to Moses. They want to stay on this side of the river, right? And then we come to Moses' response. And he's like, what? What are you saying? Come on, guys. We've been through this. Your parents did this. Look at what happened. They wandered the desert for another 40 years. Do you not understand that that's what happens when you want to do this, like something like this? And he says, why are you going to leave us to fight all the nations by ourselves? We're a nation, we are one, we are unified. Why are you wanting to split off? So that leads me to my next question for you tonight, if you want to write this down. And that is, where are you leading those around you? Are you leading people across the river into the promised land? Or are you leading them back into the desert? Are your actions and your attitudes inspiring others to cross into an abundant life with God? Or are your actions discouraging and misleading them in their walk with God? Moses, if you read, I think it's verse 6, Moses points out their selfishness. Shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? The Israelites had been through a lot together. We saw that map. A whole lot of stuff happened in Egypt where they escaped and were in slavery. They'd been through a lot as a nation. And they'd almost made it to the end of their wandering when suddenly some of them just wanted to give up. And this suggestion of a separation of all the tribes, some on one side of the river and then some on the other side of the river, was actually a division of God's people and a division of God's original plan. And the Bible comments a lot on division and unity. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity. And Jesus himself said, in Luke 11, verse 17, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. But the separation here was actually a lot more than just a geographical separation. It actually demonstrated a change in the Israelites' mind and their heart. So while the rest of Israel had a God perspective, and they were believing God and following what was his plan, these tribes had adopted a self perspective. What was good for me now was their perspective. And this action just fractures Israel. It breaks it apart. And no longer are they all committed to following God into the promised land, into the inheritance, but there is conflict between those who are kingdom-minded and those who are earthly-minded, those who are promised land-minded and those who are what is good for me now-minded. Those who are wholeheartedly trusted, devoted to trusting God's purpose versus those who take the reins and take the control and think that they can sort it out for themselves. And Moses was pretty angry at this suggestion of separating. And he not only calls the tribes a brood of sinners, but he reprimands them in verse 7, saying, why do you discourage the Israelites from going over into the land the Lord has given them? Because you see, this had been a commandment from God to go into the promised land. In Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. But this is exactly what these tribes have done. We talked about it. They got afraid. They didn't follow through and they directly disobeyed God's command to go into the land. And this then set an example for those around them of fear, of distrust, of complacency, of lack of motivation and of disregard for God's promises and God's commandments. And this was sowing seeds amongst the Israelites. Numbers 32 puts it pretty strongly. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all this people in the wilderness and you will be the cause of their destruction. That's in verse 15, which is pretty full on. Like I read that and I was like, wow, all of that's been placed on these guys' heads. The tribe's disobedience was putting in the danger of influencing the rest of the Israelites. And instead of everyone going across, remember, they've wandered for like 40 years or whatever, and they're here, finally. And then this disobedience of these tribes were putting everyone at danger of going back into the wilderness and wandering again and not reaching God's promise for them. So it's quite a sobering thought. How are our actions influencing those around us? Are we holding people back from entering the promised land? What example are we setting? Are we encouraging people to pursue God wholeheartedly as we live out that freedom and that joy and that peace that we talked about, that abundant life? Or are we like those Israelite tribes where our fear and our focus on self and our lack of trust is discouraging other people from continuing on in their faith journey with God? And as I said, it's interesting to note this isn't the first time that happened. This has happened to their ancestors. You'd think they'd learn, hey? So that brings me to the final question I have for you tonight. Which side of the river are you on, if you're making notes? So our next part of the story continues. We have the leaders that are like, all right, Moses, we get it. We'll compromise. As long as we can keep our families safe on this side, we'll go across, we'll fight with you, we'll win the battles, and then we'll go back across the river, away from the promised land, back to where we're nicely settled with our families, and we're happy there. But I mean, what? You're going to go all the way across the river, which was the original plan, and then come back and leave the promised land back to where you originally were, back to the wilderness, back to the desert? And then I realized, how often do we play ping pong like that? How often do we be like, oh, great, I'm just going to go across here. Sounds good. Great life. Thanks, God. And then I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. It's a bit scary. I was a bit more comfortable over there. I'm just going to stay over here. It's a bit more comfortable from an earthly perspective. That was a bit easier. I know, God, you've got bigger plans, but this is easy. I'm comfy here. I'm just going to stay on this side. It's a bit like, for me, I was trying to think of what to compare this to, and I was like, it's like I'm going on a long, hot walk in summer, and I'm like, I really need an ice cream. You're walking along the road. You come, see the ice cream shop. You walk up. You find a nice bit of shade. You're like, oh, I'm cool now. I don't really need that ice cream anymore. Might even go and have another look at the shop. But I'm like, nah, I'm fine. Just go and get the ice cream, guys. Come on. But yeah, there was spiritual significance in crossing that river. It wasn't just a physical thing. Because on one side of the river was the desert. There was hardship, barrenness, slavery. And on the other side, there was a promised land. There was abundance. There was freedom. There was unity. There was purpose. There was so much more that God had planned for them. And a side note for you guys who are, I'm a little bit directionally challenged. I go backwards and forwards, left and right, not east, northeast, southwest, all that sort of stuff. But for those of you who do understand the compass, they were actually heading from east to west across the river, which is following the pathway that the sun takes in the sky, or if we're thinking symbolically, following the path of the S-O-N, the sun. So Steph, if you wouldn't mind coming up. I think the most important takeaway tonight is that the best life in God that God has planned for us is facing forward. Forward into our spiritual inheritance, forward into the promised land, forward into the relationship, forward into the freedom that God has planned for us. Going backwards, going back across the river, that's not what God's designed. That's not what He wants for you. So which side of the Jordan are you on? That's my question for you tonight. Are you on this desert side? Are you settling for second best life? Are you stuck in fear that's preventing you from moving across? Are you stuck in selfishness that's preventing you from moving across? Or are you choosing to make that step? Choosing to make that step across the river, into the promised land, into the freedom, into the joy and the peace that God's planned for you. We talked a little bit about the inheritance of the abundant life. And that inheritance comes from living side by side with God in relationship with the Holy Spirit inside of us. So I wanted to spend a bit of time in prayer tonight. The first thing I wanted to pray for was those who actually hadn't made that step into eternal life. If you've heard a lot about this life of freedom and this life of peace, this life of joy, but you've never made that decision to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to ask the Holy Spirit inside to live out that life from you and to live that life alongside you, I'd love to pray for you tonight. So if everyone closes their eyes, if that's all right. And if that's you, and if you've never made that choice to accept Jesus, but you've heard about that life tonight and before tonight, and you want to make that decision to say, yes, Lord, I want to live that life with you. I'd love for you to just pop up your hand and we'll pray for you. That's good. If there's anyone who didn't pop up their hand, you're welcome to come and chat afterwards. I did have a few extra prayer points that I wanted to make tonight. Just from our first point that I spoke about, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from living out that life? You're on this side of the river. You're standing here and you can see that abundant life that we spoke about. If we could get that abundant life slide up, if that's okay, the one with the verses on it. If you're standing on this side and you can see all that stuff on the other side of the river, but you're not living in it yet, I'd love to pray for you that you have the courage to take that step into that life. And that's why I've got this here, because it's a physical thing. It's not just a visual thing. This is a physical step that you've got to make. It took courage to go across into the promised land. There was enemies. There was big giants. It was scary, but it was worth it. The second point that I wanted to pray about tonight was for anyone who's in a position of, it could be anyone really, who is leading those around them. You could be a mum and a dad and you're leading your kids. You could be a teacher. Anyone who's in a position where you've got people looking to you for an example. Where are you leading those around you? Are you leading people across or are you facing the wrong way? So I want to pray for you tonight that you choose to lead people towards Christ and towards his life. And the third thing that I wanted to pray for was those who were on this side of the river. So you've come across, but there's a comfy life back that side. You're used to it, it's familiar, and you want to go back there. But I want to pray for you tonight that you have the courage to stay on this side, that you have the persistence and the determination to stay here and pursue the life that God's got planned for you. So if everyone can just close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you to stand, if that's you. I know it feels a bit weird, but this step is a physical one. That's why I've got this on the stage. It's physical. It's something you've actually got to do and make a choice, take an action. So if one of those ones was you, I'd love to pray for you. If it was you, that something's holding you back, fear, distrust, complacency, selfishness, I'd love you to stand. If that was you, that you're leading people around you, I want to pray for you. And if it was you, that you're on the other side of the river, I want to pray for you. So if anyone, I'd love you to pray in your own time and take a stand if you feel called to. Don't wait, just go for it. Prayer can only help. Father, I just want to pray, first of all, for those who are in the desert and looking at the promised land. Holy Spirit, I just want to pray that you give them the assurance that you will be there on the other side, the confidence that you've already won that victory, and just the courage to take that step forward. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you will just empower them with your courage to do that. I pray that you'll place people around them to encourage them in that journey. I pray that you'll place people around them to guide them and help them come forward into your life. And Father, I pray that they will choose to make that step every single day with you. Holy Spirit, I just pray for those who are in a position where people are looking up to them and are watching what they do. I pray, Lord, that they will be like the majority of the Israelites, that they will look forward to what you have and that they will lead people forward into your goodness and into your abundant life. In Jesus' name, we pray for protection over them, that they would not look back at what was behind, that they would not lead into the wilderness, but rather that they would lead, keep their eyes fixed on you, and in doing that would help others to fix their eyes on you. And Father God, I just pray for those who are already walking with you, Father, but are looking back at what life was like on the other side. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll give them strength, give them determination to stay and to pursue you. Give them tools to use just to stay with you, to whether that's a habit that needs to change, whether that's a perspective that needs to change. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reach into them reach into their life and help them to change that so that they continue to walk towards you and to walk towards your promised land. Holy Spirit, we just commit all of these people to you. In your precious name. Amen.